Welcome to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast, the place for scrappy entrepreneurs who want to learn actionable steps and strategies to grow the traffic, sales, and profit in your e-commerce business. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Coster, a 20-year retail veteran and former brick-and-mortar boutique owner who spent 3 years as the only employee of a seven-figure online store. That shit was crazy. I know exactly how it feels to do all the things, and I'm sharing everything I learned the hard way so you don't have to. I may have started this business by accident, but supporting badass bosses like you lights me the fuck up, and I am so stoked to see you grow. Are you ready, babe? Let's roll. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Badassery Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Totillo-Coster. Today, I'm so excited to officially introduce our new resident ad strategist inside the Lounge E-Commerce membership, Anna Shipley. We're talking all things meta ads in 2024, including best practices, budgets, creative, reading data, and managing expectations. Like me, Anna started her business by accident. When she sold her e-commerce business in 2019, other small business owners started asking her for help with their marketing and ads, like she had done for her own store. Also like me, after working one-on-one with other entrepreneurs, she was hooked and now runs a boutique Facebook ad agency, Flourish Digital. All right, friend, let's hop into the episode. Hey, Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Jess.
I'm super excited to have you here and talk all things Facebook, aka meta ads. We've been having a lot of conversations about when it comes to ads, the number one thing you can do is just test a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And that there are no hard and fast rules. So what I would love to really get into with you today is, what do we need to know about meta ads in 2024, and pick your brain on what you've been seeing with your clients and all of that good stuff.
So 2024, lots of changes. Having said that, there are still some clients of mine who are still running as the old way, the old fashioned way. And I'm talking the way we ran as 3-4 years ago. Broad audiences, Advantage Plus, all these strategies have come into play where Facebook is really pushing these strategies. What I'm seeing is detailed targeting audiences have decreased further. People are really struggling with finding audiences that are matching their ideal target market.
Right.
And this is why Facebook is really pushing the broad audience and the Advantage Plus audience and the Advantage Plus campaigns. I'm also seeing that retargeting, whilst it doesn't work anymore, there are some people I see whose retargeting are still working very well with 5 return on ad spends and 6 return on ad spends, really high profitable margins. So it all comes down to testing. It depends on how long you've been in business for. It depends on how strong your pixel data is, how well you know your audience, how well your website converts. That all plays a big part in how Facebook ads works for you. So it's not a one size fits all. Definitely not.
And when you say detailed targeting, they took more interest away. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. I'll give you an example. I have a lady who manufactures her own. It's a child safe kitchen knife. Does really well worldwide. And she has one knife that targets people with arthritis or have had a stroke. And she's got a larger knife for adults to use. And it's done so well with awards. I went in there the other day and they had removed a lot of that audience.
Right.
I could only use audiences such as occupational therapist, physio. A lot of the other audiences had been removed. And you will know if it's been removed. You will get a big red banner across the top of your ad account and you'll panic thinking you've been disabled.
Yeah.
But you'll get that message up the top saying, we have removed some of your detailed targeted audiences. And you'd have to go in and literally remove them because they're not available anymore.
Right.
So yeah, it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah. And that, it makes sense. They've really started doing that since obviously all the privacy changes and,
that's, you know, right. Yeah.
Online privacy is continuing to be an issue. And I only imagine we're going to lose more and more of that data. And so Facebook's tools like Advantage Plus, which I think now, you know, it used to be campaign budget optimization. Now it's just Advantage Plus budgets, right? Like all the AI things are just grouped under the title of Advantage Plus.
That uses machine learning.
Yeah.
So you literally put a budget to it. I've been testing out different ways to use Advantage Plus, but when I first started using Advantage Plus, it kind of acts like a retargeting campaign as well, because you will select three of your audiences, your warm audiences, let's just say your purchases, you could put your followers in there and your view content or add to cart. You could put those grouped in there and you can use that as a retargeting. But it also finds, which is really tricky, it'll find people based on that audience there, your ideal audience. In terms of creative, you would put your best performing ads and it pre-selects it for you. You literally go in and go click, click, click. And that way it just does everything for you. It's really, really interesting how it all works. And they are some of my best performing campaigns at the moment. But you need to have the budget for it. I will say that.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that, but it sounds like in the past, it was detailed targeting and lookalike audiences, right? And lookalikes were the big thing where people would be able to scale their ads and grow really big. And then after the privacy thing took over, those lookalikes didn't quite perform anymore.
No.
Yeah. So, the nice thing is, like, look, at the end of the day, Meta makes their money by people advertising on their platform, right? Like, that is their business. And so,
pretty much,
yeah. It is in their best interest to continue to improve their technology to help the advertiser. And, like, one of the things I remember too, when iOS first happened and they changed the way you connected your store and you could only have 7 conversion events and, you know, you had to like order them in order and prioritize them. But like, you don't have to do that anymore because Meta fixed it, right? And so I think we will continue to see this get better and better and better because without advertising, Meta has no revenue. They have no business.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have no choice but to fix this. But one of the things that I have heard about Advantage Plus is that it burns through budget quickly. And some of the people I work with, like they're just getting started in ads for the first time. They don't really have a huge budget. But I hear that Advantage Plus, you do need a pretty good budget. So like, what is a pretty good budget?
That's a good question. I'll use this based on what I'm working with at the moment. I have a client who probably spends, and I know these are not big budgets, although some people might think this is a big budget, a smaller business. A client could be spending $150 a day.
Wow.
We can allocate $100 to your normal campaigns and let's pull $50, $60 out and run an Advantage Plus campaign. Having said that, I've got a client now who has come on board with only $30 a day. They like to start small. And I'm okay with that because they need to feel comfortable. $30 a day and they're happy to scale and increase their budget as the sales come in. Now, with $30 a day, you can't really run an Advantage Plus campaign because where are you going to allocate your budget? You can't put $10 to Advantage Plus. I'm starting to test out where we just run an Advantage Plus, put all that money to test out in an Advantage Plus campaign and see what happens. Does it burn through quickly? Look, it can take 2 weeks before you start to see results.
Right.
It can happen straight away. It depends on the client's pixel. It depends on their brand, how long they've been running Facebook ads for, how quickly it finds its audience. Now, this client who I tested it out for, it was quite a few days. We didn't see anything, but we do have to allow, this is the thing with Advantage Plus, you really have to be very patient.
Yeah.
Talking 2 weeks and it's really hard for people seeing their money coming out and thinking, oh my goodness, there is no sales. But then it can just explode and just sales come in.
Right.
They do fatigue quickly, some of the campaigns in there as well. And this is why I'm testing as well with clients who've got other campaigns running because they've got a very good performing ad set. I will pop it into that Advantage Plus as I know it work. If in doubt, the best thing to do is use it like a retargeting campaign and just run a catalog, and that will convert.
Right. Got it. Okay. So one of the things, because, you know, I, even though I don't run ads for people and I spent 7 years working at a business that couldn't run ads, but I'm always kind of paying attention. What are people talking about? And, you know, a lot of it's kind of like the hockey stick, right? And so it kind of just goes along, does nothing.
Yeah.
You're spending money. You're like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, Something just clicks.
Something happens.
The audience, and it just kind of takes off. Mm-hmm. Just like starting a new business, right? Like, you don't just come out of the gate with a whole bunch of sales. You know, it's a slow burn in the beginning. And so you do have to just have the patience and let it do its thing and see what's going to happen. And I think the misconception, and you and I have talked about this, is that ads are some silver bullet.
No, they're not a silver bullet. No, God.
Yeah. And they're just not.
It's not the silver bullet. And I see in a lot of Facebook groups, people panic. Like, my website is not converting. I want to run Facebook ads. But hold on. If your website is not converting, that is not going to change anything. It might if you have a killer product. This is why the groundwork needs to be done first with your website, with your, you know, growing a list, growing your social media, all that sort of stuff, because that is the way you test whether you have an amazing product. If you can't convert anything organically, I don't know if Facebook ads will work for you. I would say no, it doesn't. Although in some cases it has proven wrong to me, and it has.
Yes.
But in most cases, it won't work.
But I've had this conversation with clients before, and it's like, well, it's just so slow organically, right? So in that case, I kind of say, look, think about it like going to a casino. You're taking money out. You might not get any of it back, but you might also win big. But like, you have to be prepared to spend the money to test, to get data, and not expect it until later on.
That's right, yeah.
And that's really like the mindset you have to have when you go into ads. So it's hard, but hey, like, this is running a business. And I also, I was always a little bit less a cheerleader for ads a few years ago than I am now. But, you know, the organic space was different. It was a lot easier to get organic traffic and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it's just not anymore.
It's getting harder and harder. And you do have to invest. You really do. And like I said, there are some brands where I think, no, it won't work. But then it might work. You start, and I'm even surprised. And when you do start testing it out for your business or your brand, you do need to give it at least 3 months to see. Not that you won't get sales for 3 months, you will, but you will need that amount of time just to find your killer ad and product and what people are resonating with and what sells well. And then you build from that. And that's why it requires a lot of patience.
Patience and that. I mean, you must have a ton of them. I do not have a lot of patience at all.
Well, it's easy when I'm running ads for somebody. If it was my own store, I don't know how I would do it. And that's why when I do on board, I always say to them, close your eyes, just look away. Go focus on something else. Go do something else because you'll panic and you are, oh no, turn that ad off. No, but the metrics, it's still going. It's not ready to be turned off yet. And that's what people do. They panic. They turn off ads because it didn't convert. But then, hold on, there wasn't enough impressions. There wasn't enough frequency, you know, all that sort of stuff. They don't look at the soft metrics. They just look straight for the sale. It's like, well, it's still growing. You can't turn them off yet.
Well, let's actually talk about that. So what is the clue to like give up on an ad? Is it a time frame for you? Is it a spend versus some metrics? Do you have any sort of general rules around that?
I keep it very basic and very simple because the majority of people I've worked with do not spend millions of dollars on ads. I've had one client who was spending around $55,000 a month. So her strategy was very different. But general rule, I'll look at impressions. If they have reached 1,000 impressions within a few days or a week and there's been zero sales, I duplicate that ad out and I might amend the copy or the creative. If I've got a video, I might do a still image or a collage or a carousel. If the add to carts and the initiated checkouts, and you can see they're almost about to buy, I'll let it go for a few days and see what happens. So there's a few different rules here that I go by. If the impressions are really low and that the budget's not spending, because there might be another ad that's taking up all the budget, I do turn that off, or I might turn off the performing ad for a little bit to feed some of that budget down to the ad that is not working. So you have to really know, okay, well, let's, you know, it's like, you know, those books, Find Your Own Adventure.
Yes.
You remember those books? And you go, if this is not doing this, go to page two. If this, you know, what do you want to do? And it's a bit like that. And most of the times you just really need to test it out. And it comes with experience saying, okay, well, the budget's all going to that creative and this one's not spending at all. I said zero sales. Well, I can see that. Let's pause that ad. I know it hurts because it's getting sales, and let's give this one a go.
Yeah.
And this is where budget comes into play, because if you've got bigger budgets, you can test out. You can create another campaign and test these things out and leave the ones that are running there. Don't touch them and create another campaign where you can test out different creatives that are not hogging all the budget. So,
yeah.
But generally, I look at impressions. If it's got 1,000 impressions and no sales, I'll turn it off. Or the costs are getting too high, I turn them off. Or it's been a week, 2 weeks, no sales, turn them off. Or not turn them off, duplicate and try something different. That's my basic general rules.
Gotcha. Awesome. So I have two kind of follow-up questions to that. From a creative perspective, because as Meta and, you know, all like the big spend ad gurus are talking more and more about Advantage Plus audiences and broad audiences and just letting the algorithm do the work. Now your main job as the marketer is to create creative and copy that is going to speak to the person, right? Because Meta is going to go based on who engages with that ad. If this is the type of person that engages with the ad, then I'm going to show it to more people, which means you need the ad to attract the person who's going to buy. And so do you see any sort of pattern, what type of creative does best? Because what's so funny is, like, if you were to just Google like the best ad creative in 2024, it would be video creator type content. But then when it comes down to the numbers and some of what I see, you know, my students and my clients, it's like static images outperform that other stuff. So like, I know that the answer is just test it out.
It is.
But I'm wondering, what is the pattern you see?
Yeah. Well, I noticed, I started to test out. I saw one ad come up on my feed. I thought, oh, I really like that. I'm going to give that a go. I literally just created it myself, and I'll try and give an example so you can really understand. So this person, they made honey. They have a bee farm, and it was literally the jar of honey was really nice image with all the background removed, just on a colored background that complemented their branding. And I had arrows, and you can do this in Canva so easy. And this is where I'm talking to people who don't have this huge digital agency with all these marketing, all these creative graphic designers, literally in Canva, and had arrows pointing to the honey, like organic, homemade, really hitting the pain points. And I thought, oh, okay, let me see this. And it started to work. Then I tried it out with a review. So it was a still image with just the text on there, really hitting the mark straight away. And then I had this other lady who has this kitchen gadget, and all the arrows, it's a very colorful ad. So it's very appealing because it appeals the children market, the parents with children, and automatically stops the scroll. It's very colorful and bright. And all the arrows are pointing to this kitchen gadget, child safe, won't cut fingers, dishwasher safe. So automatically you're a parent, you're thinking, I want to throw that in the dishwasher. It's not going to hurt my children if they want to help me in the kitchen. It's straight away hitting the mark. And those ads are working really well for me. You know, it was hitting the pain points right away in the creative. Now that they're just still images, but I did see a creative yesterday. A lady was in a Facebook group and saying how she was talking about how well her ads are doing, and this is what she's been testing. And I did a little sneaky look in the ads library to see what is she doing. I'm intrigued. I always want to see what people are doing, and her creative was amazing. It was literally a video. She sold activewear. And it was obviously someone does the video for her, but it was her. It was her talking about her leggings or tights or whatever you want to call them and how when she bends down that I ride down, how comfortable they were. In the video, she's hitting all the pain points. She's hitting the marks. And I was intrigued. I was watching that. Now, was it a highly edited video with all these fireworks? No, it was a simple video where it just got straight to the point and it hit the mark with her target market.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to show just an image and it's going to be a really killer image, it would still work. Videos work, but you've got to really test everything out. But that's what I'm finding is if you're hitting the mark straight away, the pain points in the image, and if you've got a very warm audience, have an image with your product and have a slide with your product, an image with the testimonial standing out. I tried this out yesterday with a client and we had 4 sales straight away, which is unheard of these days, but straight away 4 sales.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, it really worked. But that is a very warm audience, been running ads for a long time with her. So the pixel is well and truly seasoned.
Yes. And knows who that perfect audience is. But
exactly.
You know, it's like we were saying, when you are relying on the machine learning and the AI and the algorithm and all of that to find the audience, like the only control you have is your ad. And so when you think about advertising on something like Facebook, these are not people who are looking for the thing you sell, right? Like you are creating demand in the moment versus Google ads, you're capturing demand that already exists. So you have to stand out and in seconds, like you have mere seconds to catch that
couple of seconds.
Yeah, that person's attention.
You're going to capture them with what they're feeling right now. It really has to hit the mark right away. Back to school. I'm in Australia here, so back to school here is February. Late January, we start going hard with back to school ads. One of their most successful ads, I've been running for years, the image. It just still works. It's an image of a lunchbox where it's those bento boxes where you can fit the apple and the banana in there. And moms don't want to have 3 different lunchboxes for their little children. They want that one box that fits everything, hits the mark, one box, that's all they have to buy. That one image tells them that it can do that and the copy resonates with that. People are just going to buy straight away. They're ready to buy. They're seeing it. Oh my God, I don't need to buy another lunchbox for the banana, or I don't need to buy another lunchbox for the apple doesn't fit in there. This does it all. So you're hitting them right when they're in that moment and it's capturing them right in that moment with the image and the copy.
So important. I think that I think years ago, it probably didn't need to be that good. Right? You could get away with subpar creative and copy. As the years have gone on, that is just not the case anymore. Now, that doesn't mean, and I always caution because people get stuck on this, right? And they'll end up like never starting. So you need to balance it with that. Just get some stuff out there and start testing.
Just get it out there. Yeah. And you'll be very surprised what works. You think, oh, this is not going to work. I think that people say it's not going to work. Just let's try it. And bang, it might work. You might be really surprised at what works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've experienced it and I've told this story a few times of running ads for the lounge. The ads were kind of ugly. I didn't like them. I redesigned them. The ugly ads outperformed my really pretty designed ads.
Because they're real. they're authentic. And that's what people want. They want authenticity. They want to say, how are you going to solve their problem? I had one client where she had this brand called Replay. I'm not sure if you know this brand. They'd sell recycled dinnerware, plastic dinnerware, but it's made from recycled milk bottles. It's a very earth-friendly, huge brand and beautiful, colorful. And she took a photo of the delivery that had arrived and it was the box and you could see the dinnerware in there. So she took a photo. Behind the photo, it was in a lounge room and there was this old sofa in the background. And I thought, oh, I don't know about this. And I thought, you know what? Let's give it a go to her warm audience. They already know who we're trying to the cold audience. But they already knew. It went off that ad.
Wow.
She sold out because they were already her warm audience. I probably should have tested her cold, but I didn't want to risk it because these people really knew who she was. Huge following. She'd been in business a long time, 12 years. So as soon as his brand came in, they did not care what was in the background. They did not care if the photo was not filtered. professionally, it was just with an iPhone and it was done and it sold out.
Yeah.
So you really have to see, you have to look beyond and look at your brand.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So the moral of this episode, honestly, is just test shit out. That's really what this is about.
Yeah. And remove your emotions as well.
Yeah, that's important.
Because the people who run their own ads are emotionally attached and they look at every little thing and want to change it straight away. Oh, that's not working. And they've only been live for 24 hours. But people like myself who run ads for other brands, we're not emotionally attached to the ads. So we won't make hasty decisions.
Right. Yes. So. Yes. And I can speak to making those kinds of emotional decisions.
Oh, I do it too. I monitor my own ads. Like if I'm running ads for me, like,
it's totally different when it's very your own thing. Yeah. So I do want to talk about the testing piece a little bit, because this is another thing that, depending upon where you read and who you talk to, it's like everyone has a little bit of a different way. So I've seen this idea of the one campaign account where you literally just put everything into one campaign and you're using different ad sets. And then I don't remember what they call it when you can put two creatives, two copies, two headlines, and it will mix it up for you, like in the actual ad set.
Yeah, ad creation. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're working with someone new, like, how do you actually approach testing? Because like you talked about earlier, when you're relying on Facebook, Facebook is going to put the money where it thinks you're going to make the most money. So just high level, kind of, what's your testing process? Are you putting it all in one campaign? Are you running different campaigns? Are you using their internal tools? Is there a best practice?
It's definitely changed a lot. Yeah. I am. Now, again, depending on the budget, and I'll give you both sort of point of views. With the client that was spending $55,000 a month, I was able to have two cold campaigns where I used one as a testing campaign and one as her proven audiences. Thing is with this one, no matter what I threw at it, it worked, because she had a which made it hard, well, easy for me, but also hard, because she had a particular brand. She had multiple brands, but she had one particular brand that no matter where I put this particular brand, it sold. It was a very popular children's brand here in Australia. But initially, I started with two cold audiences. One was the testing, and I'd put in brackets testing, and one was just where everything would work, would go in there. Let's talk about people with lower budgets where they're spending around the five, which probably still sounds a lot, $5,000 a month, but that is like a lower end budget, or $3,000 a month. Like the majority of people who I work with, I do have the one campaign. It's changed so much. We would have your whole funnel, you know, your cold audience and your warm audience and your retargeting audience. And I'd sit there with my calculator and go, okay, 60% budget to your top of funnel, 40% budget. And like, you would really like split out your budget. It's not even, we don't even do it like that anymore. There's a lot of consolidation. So I don't even start running a warm audience until I know that this brand has been in business a long time. And I really do just start off with the top of funnel, cold audience. And I always test, again, depending on how long they've been in business. I always go for a broad, and I always go for a lookalike. The lookalikes still work for some people. And I find it's three different lookalikes I use, a 5%, a 10%, and 8%. And they're stacked, as in, it's not just initially we used to do like years ago, 5% lookalike purchases, 180 days.
Yeah.
And it's 1%. You know, view content 30 days. It's gone. Those days are gone. It's now a lookalike 5%, 180 days, because you need to have that big long window. Yeah. And in there, the whole stack, like, of all your warm audiences, from your Instagram followers engaged to all the website actions they've taken, like purchases, add to cart, view content, whatever. All that is stacked in there. So I will always test that, and I'll also test a detailed targeting audience of some sort, depending on the brand. Again, if they're very new to business, like I've got a client who's 12 months in, great website, great products. I'm not testing a lookalike. It's too fresh.
Right. So nothing to look like yet.
There's nothing really to look like. Yeah. There probably is, but I'm going straight for broad and detailed targeting, and they're working. So keeping it very simple. No warm audience, no nothing, straight to broad. Maybe I'll even turn them off and try an Advantage Plus campaign. but it is very, very different, very simple. You used to go into an ad account and see all these different campaigns. Now you literally go in, it's probably one, two, or three. But if you are a high spending account, and I'm talking over $50,000, $100,000 a month, you will see multiple ad campaigns in there because you're able to test more.
Right.
So that's
right.
What I said. More money, more testing, less money. You do really keep it very, very simple.
Yeah. And you know, look, that sounds easier to me.
I will say.
I mean, I feel like if you just have one campaign to manage.
It is easier, but like I said, there's always caveats to everything. Yes, it's easier, but the budgets fatigue really quickly when it's a bit lower budget. If you're starting ads on $25 a day, yeah, it's easy because you've got that one audience and there's not a lot of work in there to do. So that's easy. But your budget's fatiguing really quickly. So you're going to have to go in there 2 days later to change things up because it's not working. Or if it is working, you give it a week and it'll probably stop performing because there's not enough budget there and you have to flip out creatives and ads. Whilst it is easier, there's less to manage. It is harder in one end because the budget will fatigue very quickly.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. I get it. Okay.
But it is easy.
Okay. Yeah.
I came work in an ad within like half an hour. It's all done. It's like, wow, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to the ones with the massive ads. And two hours later, you're still in there adjusting things. But then I won't have to touch it probably for another 2 weeks, a week. But then the smaller one, yes, it took me quicker, but I'll probably be in there a few days later adjusting again.
Gotcha. So it's just more management, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you are doing the one campaign focus, are you using CBO, formerly Campaign Budget Optimization? Now it's just called Advantage Plus Budgets, and letting Facebook choose, or are you assigning budgets at the ad set?
I stopped using CBO and started to use the ABO, where I was assigned an individual budget to each ad set or each audience. Having said that, I started to test CBO with a particular client just to see what would happen because we were finding that the CBO would always favor one audience. And I thought, okay, well, if we split out the budget, each audience or each ad set has got its own individual budget and it's also distributed evenly. I favor more ABO, more the individual budgets at the moment.
Got it. Okay. I think it's another thing you got to test.
Both words. It tests. It both do work. You do really have to test it, but that's what I favor at the moment because a year ago, people were saying, do ABO, but now people are saying, well, CBO sort of works again.
Yeah. Well, I think the thought process behind that is, well, if Facebook is putting the money toward this ad set, then that means this audience is the better audience and it's going to be easier to scale and all of that. You know, I think it's a balance of trusting the algorithm. It is a computer. It's probably smarter than us. But there are also things that they don't know, like how much money we have to spend. And maybe we need to guide it a little bit so that we can test things out and learn things for ourselves. And so, like I said earlier, the moral of the story is you have to test. There's no one perfect way.
Test.
It's different for every business. And that's what I think is so frustrating.
Yeah.
About it.
It can be frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
even like, for me, I mean, even if I'm running ads, because I want to get those results for the clients. And then you're not seeing these results immediately, which is why it's really important to explain that to the client before and really make sure that they are on board that this can take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. You do have to go and find that winning product. It does help if you have really good images, videos, a bank of content that we can use, or if you're running your own ads that you can use, because you will run out of images to use. But you do have to test, and it's frustrating if you don't see the sales right away. You really do have to test it out, find different products that will work. And experience plays a big part in it as well. And I'm working with one client now where I've picked something, updated her ads yesterday, and I thought, let's give this a go. She probably didn't even think about that. But based on the experience, what has worked in the past, I thought, well, this could work. And like, I don't know, but we tested out because it's something that I feel that was a product. I feel like it's quite versatile. Mid-season, we're here in Australia, it's autumn now, though it's very hot still. but getting ready for winter. So I thought, okay, well, people might start thinking about that because we are going to get some cold days soon. So you're just thinking outside the box and thinking of what has worked in the past. So experience does play a bit of a part in that too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're just kind of getting started with ads and if you're just trying to DIY it and you are searching the internet or you're watching YouTube or whatever, while there is amazing, great information out there, the problem is this person knows nothing about your business, about your product. They only know what they've worked on. And truth is, if they are an agency owner or a freelancer who is teaching you this on YouTube, it is likely they are working with clients who have big budgets.
That's right.
And you have a lot more freedom to test and to let the algorithm do its thing because you're feeding it so much money at one time.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't translate across all businesses. So I just really appreciate your open-mindedness and understanding. And when you go to your website, it's like, look, this is not one size fits all. It's different for every business. Let's talk about it and test it out.
Yeah. And that doesn't sit well with some people. I'll get people talking to me, say, Anna, can you run my ads? And I'll tell them straight out, well, don't expect that this is going to happen. And they're a bit like, oh, I think that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear, yeah, sure. Because I've had people say to me, can you promise me a 10 return on ad spend? And I say, no, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
And I do say to people, if you go and speak to agencies or freelancers or whoever, and they are promising you that they can get you X amount of ROAS and this amount of sales, I run. How can they promise you that?
That's a red flag.
Yeah, 100%. Like, cannot promise. And unfortunately, brands fall for that because they're feeling vulnerable. They want to make money. They're probably at the point in their business where, you know, my brand's not making me any money. My website, I need to make money fast because I've got bills to pay. So they're feeling stressed and they're thinking, I need someone who can promise me that. And they fall for that.
Yeah.
And then that's when they start to really badmouth, oh, Facebook ads don't work. They're crap. They're shit. They're this, they're that.
Yeah.
And then it makes the honest marketers look bad because they've been burnt. And I've been burnt before when I had my stores. You know, they make us look bad who are really just doing the right thing by the client. And I've knocked back clients before. I said, I'm really sorry. I don't think we're a good fit. I'm not going to take your money if your website's not ready or your budget's not there. It's not morally right of me to do that.
Yeah. So important. And I've seen it, you know, being on the other side and being the client. And I've seen it happen with Facebook ads where, you know, they're guaranteeing whatever this return is. And on the surface, it looks really good. But come to find out, the majority of that is coming through retargeting ads.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, retargeting ads have their place, right?
Yeah.
But you're essentially paying for a customer you may already have had through email.
That's right.
And so, yes, you want some of that because people do need multiple touches. And I like to say, you know, you want to hit them like a pinball machine.
Yeah,
and all of that. But ads should really, the majority of your budget and the majority of what you're making should be coming from new, cold people. And agencies will do this with Google ads too. They'll bid on your brand name and put so much of the budget to that. Yes, you should have some money on your brand name because you want to protect it, right? Like, you don't want your competitor to go out and bid on it and everything. So you do want to protect it. But if you have the number one spot, organic spot, you don't need a lot of money bidding on your brand name when you are already at the top. Now you're paying for traffic you would have gotten anyway. You need to be going after non-branded keywords to find people who are looking for the thing that you sell.
Yeah. You want fresh eyes on your website. You want new people in it because this might cost more to acquire that new customer. And I'm sort of saying to clients, this is why your website is so important because if I'm sending people to your website, your landing page, your home page, or wherever I'm sending them to, needs to really be on point. And I say this, I can send everyone to your website. That's no problem at all. I can get the people to your website. But if they're not converting, that's not Facebook ads' fault because that the job's being done.
Yeah.
And this is another reason why people go, oh, that ain't work. Okay, but let's have a look at your landing page. And this is why when I do work with clients, because I do have that e-commerce background, we look at it holistically, look at the whole thing. Okay, well, there's something missing on this homepage. The caption's not right. Where are your reviews? You've got to warm them up. They're not going to just, I mean, some people do buy straight away, but if it's a higher price point, they need more thinking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're selling something, a piece of jewelry for $150 and it's a beautiful bracelet, are they going to throw $150 at this brand right away? No, so the ad is doing the job getting them to the website, but how are you going to get them to convert once they landed on your website?
Right.
Do you have testimonials? Do you have beautiful images that's going to get, really convert them faster? And if they don't, retargeting ads are not really working anymore, Facebook. They do. We can do some Advantage Plus campaigns, which is sort of replacing retargeting ads in a way. But what about your email marketing?
Right.
You know, is that doing some of the heavy lifting with your abandoned cards? As people just focus straight on Facebook ads, I'm like, no, you need to have that whole ecosystem running. You know, I can do retargeting on Facebook ads, but let's get them a double whammy with your email marketing. And this is where people go, oh, I didn't realize I have to do all of that. Or some people are more advanced and, yep, I've got my email marketing person, my VA who does all that. It's all on point. It's all running smoothly. Beautiful. Love that.
Yeah, because there's still people on the internet pushing this whole idea of just run an ad and you're going to get all of these sales. And it just doesn't work like that, because also the consumer is savvier. They've been screwed over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've bought things from Facebook ads that never showed up. And then I go back to the website and the website doesn't even fucking exist anymore. Right.
Yeah.
So people are a lot more weary about getting screwed over. Internet. And so it just takes people a while to make a decision. And we need to really set ourselves up for that. Like I think of e-commerce as a puzzle. You don't necessarily need every single piece to paint a pretty picture and be successful. But like the more pieces you have, the more cohesive that becomes. So, and oh my gosh, I love all of this. I feel like we could talk about this all day.
I could talk about this for hours, because there's so many different rules, but caveats to everything. And I'm just tired of seeing people getting ripped off and then, or even seeing comments in different groups saying Facebook ads are shit, that ain't work. But let me have a look at your website. And so, this is why it's not working, because of this.
Yeah.
You know, or then I go in, they've hired someone to do their ads and I've given their ad an audit. And I've gone in and went, oh God, they're still running ads like it's 2004. It's like, you can't run ads like that anymore. Those days are gone. The strategies are gone. And if you don't move with Facebook and you don't move with the new strategies, you will be left behind. And that's where the marketers, if you are hiring people to run your ads, really make sure, ask them, like, how do you keep up with your learnings? How do you keep up with your trainings?
Yeah.
It's changing that much. The landscape platform, how people buy, how people shop. You really have to be very strategic now. I know this is probably happening worldwide where there's an economic crisis. People are really watching what they're spending. Here in Australia, we've got interest rates have gone through the roof. Everything, cost of living is just crazy. People are watching everything, and you really got to work harder on that copy and that creative and have that website looking pretty schmick and making sure people do get there and go, oh, I love this. It's talking to me. You've really got to talk to that one person and make them click and buy. A lot of psychological methods, I guess, go into play when you are creating that ad. And don't rely on AI. I mean, do rely on AI to pick some words, but I can pick now where people are. If I see the word unleash, I know they've gone straight to ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that could be like a whole other episode.
But do use that to get some keywords that you may not have thought of. Like, oh, I didn't think about that word. That works. That resonates with my audience.
Yeah.
But if you use the word unleash, a word of warning, I know you've used AI to.
I think people, and it's hard. I'm not an average consumer. I'm a marketer, right?
Yeah.
I know that like right away, I'm like, oh, that looks like a deep fake AI.
I can pick it.
And it immediately makes it feel scammy. Can the average consumer tell? I'm not sure.
Probably
but they
not.
They will be able to very soon, you know?
Depends how savvy they are as a shopper. Yeah.
And I think just like with Facebook ads in general, in the beginning, it was super simple. People were buying all the things. Then marketers ruined it. People got savvier. They're a little bit more timid about buying something the first time they see an ad for it. And so the same thing is going to happen with AI. Like right now, people probably don't notice. Give it some time. They will. And they're going to start really pulling away from that.
Yeah. Shoppers are very smart. But keep it authentic. When I say authentic, I mean you're copying and still have to hit the mark. It really has to get people to stop and scroll. But if you can keep that copy authentic and really speak to their pain points, that's the first step in getting someone to click. There's different sort of steps. So
yeah. At the end of the day, people buy with emotion and justify with logic. And so If you can 100%. Catch them on that emotion piece in the beginning, you're already leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of other people.
Yeah. What's that saying? They say you're not buying the drill, you're buying the hole in the wall or something. There's a saying.
Oh, I've never heard that.
It's in other words, you're fixing the problem.
Yeah. So true. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for being here. I'm so excited, Anna, to have you as part of the lounge starting in April. I know that you're just going to bring a wonderful perspective and support to all of the members there. And I'm so grateful that you're going to be sharing all of your wisdom and knowledge with us. So thank you so much for that. Can you let the audience know where they can find you if they need some ad help? Mm-hmm. Tell us all the places.
Yes, I can be found on Instagram. It's flourishdigital_. And I have my website, flourishdigital.com.au. I'm based in Australia. They're the main two areas where you can find me, but I do live mainly on Instagram. I share a lot of stories and posts and reels about what's happening and real life stuff, relatable content. I can be a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek, smart ass talk.
She's very sassy and I love it.
I try to be a little bit funny and relatable and people relate to that. So
I found Anna initially because I was on the hunt for an ads person for the lounge, and I was obviously searching far and wide on the internet, and I came across her Instagram and there was a reel and it said, what do you do when the Meta ads account executive calls you? And basically the message was like, don't listen to anything they have to say because they don't actually know what they were talking about. And I was like, that's her. I bet she's going to be the one. I'm like, I need to get in touch with her because that is true. Like, they're just there to get you to spend money, not help you with your ads. But yeah, she's sassy. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you like a little sass and a little snark. So I think, I feel like you were on your best behavior during this conversation.
I was.
But yeah, so definitely go check out her website, check out Instagram. I will put links in the show notes for those. If you've been thinking about joining the lounge, now is a really great time. Anna will be there starting next week as your support inside. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you everyone for hanging out with us today. I know you could be anywhere on the internet and I appreciate that you are here with me. Have a kick-ass rest of your day and I'll see you on the flip side, friend. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to learn more about growing your e-commerce business, get started with my free resource library at ecommercebadassery.com/free-stuff and get an invite to The Lounge, my e-commerce marketing membership. When you're ready for one-on-one support, apply to work with me at ecommercebadassery.com/apply. Before you go, would you do me a quick favor? Leave a rating and review and tap that follow button. This pushes me up the chart so I can support more scrappy e-commerce entrepreneurs just like you. I'm on a mission to reach as many as I can, and I could really use your help. Thanks so much in advance. Until next time, e-commerce friend, stay badass.